It's now time for The Sit Down with Don Tony.
The Sit Down, where Don Tony talks one-on-one with his followers.
What are you looking at?
About the world of pro wrestling, pop culture, and so much more.
The Sit Down with Don Tony.
And now, your host, Don Tony.
Hey, what are you looking at? What's up, everybody? How you doing? Happy Sunday for those who are joining me on Sunday, November 13th, 2022. We are 6 days away from AEW Full Gear. We are 7 days away. Well, no, 13 days away from Survivor Series. And we are 10 days away from vacation. I will be away from Wednesday the 23rd. I'll be returning Sunday the 28th, I believe. 27th. So what that means is Survivor Series, I will be doing a recap that Sunday night, even though it airs live on Saturday. So we'll have a fun show that Sunday night. You know, day late. I think it's going to be a banger of a show. Right off the bat, a lot of people were sending me links, feedback, some photos. WWE has previously advertised 5-on-5 with Survivor Series. So once Sami Zayn is cost his opportunity for being in this World Cup tournament, Sami should be added. Kevin Owens on the flip side, and there is your War Games. So hope everybody's having a great weekend. I am. You know, a little rest, relaxation can't hurt. You know, pork rub, not Pornhub. You'd be surprised how many people who saw the graphic on my channel and didn't read it closely, and they're like, why are you wearing a shirt professing porn? You know, no, it's pork rub. You know. Anyway, speaking of pork, had a nice dinner. I want to sit back, relax, chat with all of you for the next 60 to 90 minutes. So for everyone who is live, you set the table for what is discussed today. I see that a few super chats came in already. And obviously they get a little bit of VIP status here. It's not required. I will answer everybody tonight. Not required, but always appreciated. If you're in the live chat, make sure you type capital letters, the word question before your question. If you have a comment you want me to relay, write comment beforehand. And if I do answer yours, you know, wait a little bit, let some others throw their questions out there. And then, you know, you could come back and hit me with another. I know one person sent this early, and we have to open up with it. And I definitely want to address this right away. Big Sal, what are my thoughts on Tyrus winning the NWA heavyweight title last night at Hard Times? Look, I don't think before I talk. I thought a little bit about the Tyrus stuff, but I just thought of something that I didn't think about beforehand, and I'm going to throw it out there, and it'll get my mouth into trouble. But, you know, one of the weird things about, you know, kind of eerie irony about Owen Hart passing away was the name of the pay-per-view, Over the Edge. In fact, I have a hotline report recorded from that time, maybe about a year later, with myself, Mad Zombie, and Brian Damage. And, you know, Mad Zombie a little bit giggling, like, you know, how the fuck do you fall to your death on a pay-per-view called Over the Edge? You know, so talk about hard times for NWA. Tyrus winning the championship yesterday. I'll say this right off the bat. You know, honestly, this just does not look, this is not a good look. You know, I added in the vomit cartoon graphics. I like Tyrus. I have nothing against him privately, personally. Guy's got a set of balls. He means what he says. He says what he means. Very outspoken. Sure, he might lean on the Republican side of things as far as politics go, but as far as pro wrestling goes, if Billy Corgan, yes, I photoshopped that CNN sign. I think I did a pretty good job. If you're going to put the title on Tyrus to try to generate a buzz. You know, I don't think this was the smartest thing to do. Yes, everybody and their mother is talking about the NWA right now. But with all due respect, Mr. Corgan, you have flipped your fucking noodle. You know, I don't know, you know, if you, you know, mellow out and maybe smoke a little babanya, but I don't know where in your fucking mind, when you look at the history of NWA champions, Jesus Christ, I'll even go with Cahagas. Cahagas. Anybody remember Cahagas? NWA heavyweight champion. You know, he might have been, to me, you know, the stupidest decision in history, but it's now been overtaken by Tyrus. Look, I like Tyrus. He does not exude heavyweight champion. He is hardworking, one of the most dedicated people in the NWA right now. That doesn't mean you reward them. You know, it's bad enough when we talk about AEW, you know, and I haven't hit this nerve hard enough, and I think I'm going to start hitting that nerve. If you, putting the quality of wrestling aside, putting the fact that we are seeing some fantasy matches and we are seeing some great work in AEW, you know, it doesn't mean that the wrestlers in the company are shit. But as far as all these titles and all these other promotions and everything, you know, it feels more and more like the snowflake, you know, company. Like AEW is where all the snowflakes go, where all the people that are very, very delicate in many different ways. You know why I say that? Because I remember 15 years ago, I remember right around when Barack Obama started running for president. No, this is not a shot on Barack Obama in any way, shape, or form. But anybody remember hot chocolate, giving adults crayons, chalk, you know, getting certain special spaces, you know, everybody. What about everybody gets a trophy? Does anybody remember that? Everybody gets a trophy. Even WWE kind of mocked that many years ago. Everybody gets a trophy. Now I'm thinking about AEW and I'm like, wow, you know, either you don't care about a title or you must really suck or not be on Tony Khan's good list, you know, to have a championship, or you might be strong, you know, inside. You know, everybody's got to get a trophy. Everybody's got to get a championship. You do not reward things like this. I said this years ago for WWE. I said this years ago for TNA. And I'll say it again for NWA. You want to reward someone hardworking, dedication, but they don't fit the qualifications at that time to be heavyweight champion? Give them a raise. You know, give them, you know, a trophy. Give them something. You don't give him the heavyweight championship, let alone the lineage of the NWA. I mean, that last night, he's doing it to get a buzz, Billy Corgan. So, look, I know this is not going to be a popular thing to say, but if any of you out there right now were a wrestler and you were Tyrus and you wrestled for NWA and your boss says to you, hey, I want to put the heavyweight title on you, are you going to turn around and say no? So, I don't find as much fault in this as far as Tyrus goes more than Billy Corgan himself. That company, yeah, I remember when Shane Douglas, when he won the check. Actually, believe it or not, Tyrus has a longer reign than Shane Douglas. Congrats, Tyrus. You have a longer reign than Shane Douglas. When Shane Douglas won the championship and he said, I don't want to be part of a promotion that died RIP 7 years ago. NWA has been dead ever since COVID. I've been saying that since 2.5 years now. It's just that vibe, that 20-year plan that Billy Corgan did, that shit's out the window. And look, NWA right now is this big. For everyone out there, if you didn't give a shit about NWA before, don't give a shit about it now. You know, you don't like Tyrus, you don't like Corgan, you don't like NWA, you don't like where it's becoming, fine. Spend your energy on things you like. And that's my message to everyone out there. It's my message to Sal. It's my message to everybody who sent me DMs and emails. And I'm going to repeat it tomorrow on Monday night. You know, if you don't like NWA, you haven't watched it, you don't like it, you don't follow it, you don't like tires, you don't like car, then just spend your energy on things that you do like, you know. And honestly, I'm going to do the same. I mean, it is what it is. But Corgan, I can't even say he's jumped the shark. The guy has just lost it. And his inexperience, some of you out there are trying to compare Corgan to Tony Khan. No, you know, as much as we criticize Tony Khan, do not compare the two. Tony Khan, as much faults that he has, he also has people behind the scenes that, to a degree, know what they're doing and putting a lot of trust. You know, a lot of people don't like Jericho personally. You know, Jericho's playing politics to try to position himself. Yeah, that's kind of a smart thing to do if you were Jericho. You know, you look at other people in the back. You know, NWA doesn't have that. NWA, Billy Corgan thinks that he knows it all. Billy Corgan thinks because, you know, he is a lifelong wrestling fan, goes back to the ECW days, the stuff with TNA, the vibe. You know, he thinks, and you know what? It's his promotion. He owns it. He has every right to do whatever he wants with it. He has every right. But if you don't agree with it, direct your attention to things that you do like. So, all right, I'm going to start taking some questions in the live chat. I appreciate everybody who super chatted. I will definitely get into yours in about 10 minutes. And, you know, I will spend as much time as needed. But everybody who is live right now, you know, and look, I'm not saying the people that super chat aren't live. I'm just saying, like, those live in the chat, I want to give them the floor for a couple of minutes. So Benjamin is asking, will Jeff Jarrett be the death nail of AEW? No, I think Jeff Jarrett will help. I think, look, we talked about it 2 weeks ago. I think Jeff Jarrett, you know, his TV right now was to have the novelty match with Sting. I think this may lead to something with Muda retiring soon. Jeff Jarrett, they're not going to put a heavyweight championship on him. Jeff Jarrett is not going to be the focal point of the company. They're not doing any invasion deal. Jeff Jarrett is just a legend going up against Sting. And let's also be honest, Jeff Jarrett has not embarrassed himself in 2022. Nobody has really crapped on anything. Jeff Jarrett's gotten himself in the best shape of his adult life, his elder life. He's clean. He's passionate. And, you know, 2-3 years from now, you know, what, he may not even be in the ring. So if it's just one match and it's novelty, it's not a big deal. So, no, I don't think Jeff Jarrett is hurting this company in any way. Now, obviously, time will tell. But no. Jeff Jarrett is an employee. He's not part owner. And that's probably the most important thing. So, Talk Show God, what's up? What will happen with CM Punk next? I believe that he will do commentary on MMA. No. You know, JD and I had a great discussion 9 days ago. Yes, cheap plug. If you haven't checked it out yet, if you're on YouTube, a magic link will pop up after the show is live. You know, I'm with JD. After really thinking about it long and hard, if I was WWE, I would not bring in CM Punk again. I think they do because it's business, it's money. But I don't trust CM Punk. And remember, I defended CM Punk with that post-media scrum. I loved that he did what he did on the mic, because no one else in that company will ever be able to do that and not have the power that he did. CM Punk truly, truly was the voice of the voiceless that are in AEW. CM Punk saw what was going on. To, you know, a more professional view, Cody Rhodes saw what was going on. So others behind the scenes see what's going on. But for some of them, the money's too good. For some of them, this might be their best opportunity that they're going to get. So they're forced to keep silent. So I've defended CM Punk, but I don't trust him. I don't trust him. I don't care how much. Let me put it this way. If WWE ever works out a deal with CM Punk, there's going to be so many legal ease in that contract that didn't exist before. When Tony Khan mocked the WWE contract and said it ain't worth the paper that it's on, I think Tony Khan got a crash course of what happens when your contract is too minimal. that doesn't have enough. Tony Khan, that's what the investigation was. Are you starting to see now that we were right all along? And I know that sounds cocky and everything, but you see the words that Dave Scheer and others are putting out there now. The investigation was a farce. There was no investigation. They weren't trying to find out who punched who, you know, who did this, who did. No. He had to go to lawyers and say, how do we deal with CM Punk? The fuck do we do? How do we handle this without getting hit with a $50 million lawsuit? And that may not sound like a lot of money for Tony Khan, but still, the optics of it. So that's what this investigation was. So, you know, CM Punk, if he works out a deal with WWE, there will be extra pages in his contract. If you fart the wrong way, you know, there's going to be issues. And I guarantee you, Tony Khan, I don't know if anybody will have the balls to report it, but this is sausage. And I guarantee you, within a year, can't be done overnight, within a year, somebody out there is going to have the balls to report that Tony Khan and AEW's contracts have been revised to deal with possible occurrences, incidents, what if. You watch. So CM Punk, I think he chills. I think he continues doing a little MMA commentating. I think he makes an appearance here and there. I expect him to do an interview somewhere, and he will not get into some specifics. When there's a nice settlement and CM Punk puts a nice chunk of change in his pocket, CM Punk will have to oblige and do his part, but I still don't trust him. I would not bring him to WWE. If I was a businessman, if I was a hardcore investor in WWE, I would not bring him in. And I guarantee you, Vince McMahon owning as much stock as he does, I guarantee you, no one would ever dare say this, I guarantee you Vince McMahon does have some say as far as CM Punk negotiating with WWE for a return. If I'm a businessman, I say no to Punk. If I'm a wrestling fan, I say yes to CM Punk. As a wrestling fan, there are enough people in WWE right now that I would have fun watching CM Punk go up against. So as a wrestling fan, yeah, bring him back. As a businessman, I say no. No. Let him create his own promotion. Let him go to WOW. Let him go to WOW and do something there. Rocky Red, shout out to you. Instead of Cody, would I rather have The Rock win the Rumble, challenge Roman for the titles, have Cody fight Seth for the U.S. title at Mania? It's more about protecting Cody from the Royal Rumble. No, I wouldn't do that at all. I don't think, as much as we loved Cody versus Seth Rollins, Seth Rollins lost 3 times in a row. I don't want to see Seth Rollins losing at WrestleMania. And I don't want to see The Rock coming in there after not wrestling for God knows how long and winning the Royal Rumble. You know, I'm not saying that the fans would turn on The Rock, but, you know, I just think back to Dave Bautista when Daniel Bryan was going through the Yes movement. WWE had no goddamn clue that Dave Bautista was going to end up being treated the way he was with WWE. I think it would turn off a lot of fans if The Rock won the Royal Rumble. I do not want The Rock winning the Royal Rumble. If he wants to cost someone from winning the Rumble, sure. If he wants to, you know, get into it with Roman Reigns at some point, sure. But I do not want him winning the Royal Rumble. Mohamed Soria. Nick Aldis on Sam Roberts talked about Billy Corgan. Do I think the same remarks go for Tony Khan, immature, unknowledgeable about wrestling business? Well, I kind of mentioned that a few minutes ago. Tony Khan is very immature. Tony Khan, in many ways, is a rich, petulant child. Tony Khan puts matches on TV to fulfill his fantasy and what some of his friends like, not what the everyday wrestling fan likes. But that's his right. That's his right. Tony Khan and Billy Corgan obviously don't have the years in the wrestling business, but they handle it totally different. Tony Khan has a lot of people working behind the scenes, doing a lot of, even though they do stuff for their own friends, I'm not agreeing with it, but Billy Corgan, it's just a mess. It's just a mess. The excuses given for no Empower, too. Even Trevor Murdoch. Some of the things Trevor Murdoch said is just beyond asinine and stupid. They're just stupid. You know, let me put it this way. If NWA was getting 500,000 viewers on TV, I'm not even putting it in the 900,000 category like AEW. But if NWA was doing even 400,000 viewers, if NWA was getting the same viewers as Impact Wrestling, then I would say, okay, you know, you definitely want to have top caliber, you know, names as far as women goes for Empower. When you're talking about a wrestling company that can't even draw 500 people, when you're talking about a wrestling company that can't even get 10,000 pay-per-view buys, and you're like, oh, we need bigger names, you know, what the fuck is this guy talking about? He's talking about losing money. That's what it's about. Because even if he brings the bigger names and he does only 10,000 buys or 5,000 buys or 3,000 buys, he's going to lose even more money. So no, Billy Corgan and Tony Khan, I do not compare them. So, all right, let's answer a couple of super chats. Then we'll get back to the live chat. Chris Cutra, thank you for the 20 spot, my friend. Much love. $20 super chat. Back in the Monday Night Wars, when I say that those two shows competing, Raw and Nitro, like they did, was maybe the most competitive environment, not only in the history of pro wrestling TV, but the entire history of television. No, not as far as the entire history of television. ABC, CBS, NBC, back in the vintage days, all competed for ratings. And some of the ratings, you know, pro wrestling for a very short period of time drew unbelievable numbers. But when you start really examining, you know, I could give you a good example because somebody was talking about this the other day. Dallas and Dynasty, you know, two late night soap operas that were on, what, CBS and ABC? I hated both. Honestly, they could have all went off a cliff on a bus and I wouldn't have cared much. Who shot J.R.? Not Jim Ross. Who shot J.R. Ewing? I could give two fucks who shot J.R. Ewing. But they competed, I mean, so hardcore back then. I mean, the networks competed for decades. Pro wrestling was a very short amount of time. As far as the history of pro wrestling goes, yeah. Yeah. It was cutthroat. You never saw anything like that before. You can't even talk about, you know, when Vince McMahon took over TBS in 1984, whatever it was, because that was, again, a very, very short period of time. The history of pro wrestling, WCW versus WWF, from the mid-90s to 2001, it will never match that ever again. Even if AEW moved to Monday nights, it would not match what WWF and WCW did back then. Look at the ratings. Look at the viewership. Look at, I mean, pro wrestling right now. I still laugh. Was it Jeff Jarrett that said that we're in a wrestling boom? There was never a wrestling boom. We haven't grown viewers. If anything, we've lost viewers. And what's happened is people are fighting over the same viewers. They're hoping some people will double dip and spend on WWE and AEW. So, definitely in the history of wrestling, Gruss says Dallas was good. I never liked either one. You know, you got to remember, you know, I'm a teenager at that time, you know, and nothing against Linda Evans with Dynasty and yeah, Victoria Principal. All right, she was a hottie. There was a few that were hotties. Wait, Victoria Principal. Yeah, she was on there. Yeah, of course she was. I'm thinking of the chick from One Day at a Time, Valerie Bertinelli. She was definitely not on there. If she was, she would have been an extra, like playing a hick, like driving down the boulevard. But yeah, pro wrestling will never be that again. And props to everyone who is young now that didn't live through it, that are very fascinated with it. It is kind of cute when you go on YouTube and you read these top 10 lists and they do all these deep dives and everything. And the one thing they can never really recreate is that everyday energy, that vibe, you know, who's going to do this and who's going to jump next and what's going to happen here. And you'll never be able to recreate that. I don't care how many results you read or how many TV shows you watch. You had to live through it to understand it. And that's not a shot against anybody younger. You know, you just weren't alive or weren't a wrestling fan at the time. So that's not your fault. But to see as much interest as there is, that's pretty cool. Very, very cool. By the way, I think today is the anniversary that Eddie Guerrero passed away. It's amazing how many years already. So it's, you know, it doesn't feel like yesterday anymore, but a lot of years gone by. I still have that tribute from my hotline where everybody called in, and it was like 2 hours long, and I chopped it down to about 45 minutes. And after a while, you know, just hearing people sobbing, crying, I mean, it was all legit tears. That's powerful. I've never played it on the shows, but maybe one day I will. But really, really powerful shit, man. And you know what? I'm glad I kept it. I'm glad I kept it, because back then no one was doing this with podcast or webcast and stuff like that. I kept that shit. I streamed it. I kept it. And I'm very, very happy that I did, even though it was a very tragic set of circumstances that happened that night. Yeah, one fall. Absolutely. Same night, Christian Cage debuted for TNA at Genesis. I like Christian Cage's TNA run, man. I will never forget, and I remember covering this on the podcast. He was feuding with John Cena. And sure, Christian can't rap like John Cena, but there was a point where a lot of us felt that Christian and John Cena were almost on the same level. I know that sounds ridiculous to say all these years later, but there was a buzz around Christian, and it felt like, wow, they're finally letting him break out and, you know, really do what we thought he could do. And it really felt like WWE pulled the rug underneath Christian. I mean, later on when he won the championship, he lost it so quickly. And I still remember we were all like really, really pissed about it. And he posted some type of a tweet afterwards. He's like, don't worry about it, guys. I'll get it back. You know, just let things play out. It was never the same. Christian was just trying to, you know, look at the chicken shit and turn it into chicken salad. So Christian at that time, man, for those that didn't experience it, if you watch WWE TV, as the weeks went by when Christian was feuding with Cena, if you watch every minute of it, you'll feel a little bit of what I'm talking about. So many of us were like, wow, you know, Christian is hanging toe-to-toe with Cena. You know, Vince's boy, Christian's giving a little bit of a chance. And then they fucking pulled the rug from underneath him. So I really appreciated his TNA run. Chris, I'm doing good. Shout out to you. He's happy. Him and his brother Sam are doing good as well. Good. Shout out to your brother Sam. I hope everybody's doing great this weekend. Very, very fun weekend. Michael Gonzalez, has there been any updates on when Randy Orton is coming back? You know, if I was WWE and he could return, Royal Rumble. Maybe Royal Rumble. Riddle, if he returns, I could see Riddle versus Orton at Mania. If Orton shows up and RKO's Riddle, I would wait till a Rumble. Right now, you got the Bloodline. You got the stuff with Sammy. I mean, look, the entire WWE should not focus around just the Bloodline. So there's definitely room for him to return. But keep in mind, we're already in November. Once we get past Survivor Series, now it's the road to the Royal Rumble. And yes, it's not a direct road, but still, you're going to focus on Royal Rumble. So I would do it there. Once Royal Rumble comes and goes, then it's the road to WrestleMania. Sasha Banks, she's going to return. Naomi is going to return. Cody Rhodes is going to return. You know, Bray Wyatt is going to be much further into this storyline that he's having with himself. So there's a lot of things going down. There is room for Randy. I would do it at the Rumble. Well, Word says if Jeff Jarrett faced Cena, then people would support Jarrett. You know what? I think overall fans have a fondness for John Cena now. A lot of that Super Cena shit, people, I think, you know what the turning point was? And I think all of you will agree. The Open Challenge. The United States Open Challenge. When he was having matches with AJ Styles and tearing it up, then he did the U.S. title challenge, and he was having matches with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and others. But the matches he had with AJ Styles, he was pulling moves out that I remember one or two moves I had never seen Cena do before. And it really felt like, wow, this guy is really working his fucking ass off right now. That was the turning point outside of the personal stuff. We realize now that John Cena, the goodness of him, is legit. And I think as time went by, especially outside of wrestling, that respect skyrocketed towards Cena. So, no, I don't think fans in droves would go against Cena anymore. And that's a cool thing because back then, none of us ever thought John Cena would ever turn the corner. It was always going to be, let's go Cena, Cena sucks. Let's go Cena, Cena sucks. I like John Cena. I'm a fan. And for many, many years, I was not. So I definitely would welcome him back for WrestleMania. It hits different than The Rock for me. It hits different. John Cena, it always feels like wrestling is his first love. And John Cena, if given the opportunity and the right circumstances, he'll come back every single time. For The Rock, it feels different. And I can't get past, what was it, the 25th anniversary of SmackDown or whatever anniversary it was. And then we had some other anniversaries and The Rock couldn't even like go into his bathroom and hit record on a phone and record 2 minutes of video. And there's no excuse for that. I mean, we all knew for months there were anniversaries coming up. And you would think at some point, you know, he could have in his gym, you know, having some downtime, having a drink, you know, on his patio, anywhere, just grab the phone, 2-3 minutes, and we didn't even get that. That, to me, it really said a lot. And look, there was obviously some issues between him and WWE, no question, but it does not feel, I don't have that same feeling towards Cena. If you said to me right now, if I had a choice of only one, who would I bring to WrestleMania? I would choose John Cena. Seriously. I mean, I would love The Rock to compete as well, but I don't know. Cena just, it kind of hits different for me. Speaking of choice, I saw this. Where is it? I saw this as I was going through the list before we went live. Just Joe, with just a politics question for me, I have to vote for one in 2024. Ron DeSantis or Donald J. Trump? I have to vote for one. I can't say no. I have to vote for one. Honestly, 100% honesty. I don't lie on these shows. So I shouldn't even have to say that. As I feel right now, there is no question for me. I would vote for Ron DeSantis. The reason why I say that is because as much as people dislike him, I don't think he would ever disrespect, I don't want to say disrespect the country, but, you know, I was always a supporter of Trump. I did not vote for Trump or Biden in the last election. I did not vote. But one thing I will always say about January 6th, note the vibe I got from January 6th with Trump. This is the vibe I got. Do I think he committed crimes? No. The vibe I got from him is this fucking country is rigged. You know, they put all these fake narratives that I called military people pussies and I did this and I said that. None of it was true. And they do the early balloting and they throw things out there to piss people off. And then at the same time, here's a ballot. And people emotionally vote against them. And then 2-3 weeks later, a month later, and they realize they were lied to. They realize that the process to change their ballot is so difficult in so many states that they, you know, what the fuck am I going to do? I already voted. I think that when January 6th happened, I think Trump was like, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Whatever happens, happens. I don't give a fuck. All people, the politics, the way they run shit, they deserve it. That's how I always felt about it. I don't think DeSantis would take that same attitude, you know. And again, as right now, I don't know if I would vote for either one. But just Joe is saying I have to vote for one. I probably would go with DeSantis, to be honest with you. I probably would go with DeSantis. Okay. Thank you very much for the 10 spot, Joe. Much appreciated. Ronnie C., am I going to get Twitter Blue once it's available again? And thank you for the 5 spot, brother. Yeah, I am going to get it. I am going to get it. And I know that might surprise some people out there. I don't give a fuck what people think about blue check marks or not. You know what I've come to realize the last couple of days? You know, I forget who said it. Somebody in wrestling said this. And I thought it was such an intelligent answer. And this person despises Elon Musk. I don't remember who it was. But somebody said that wasn't the reason to be Twitter verified is to avoid imposters. And yeah, that is true. Verification was to avoid imposters. Let me tell you something. There was no option, even before Musk bought Twitter, there was no option that you can request to be verified because there were imposter accounts. That was taken away years ago. So what I have learned over the last week is that people who have blue check marks, the clout went to their fucking heads, because every person that got the blue check mark because they subscribed, the hatred, the bitterness, how dare you be put in the same class as me? I am verified. I have clout. I have power. I am here. You are here. You do not do that. That's what I have gotten. I've gotten it in the wrestling community. I've gotten it in the real world. I've gotten it with hip-hop, sports, politics, authors, movie stars. Fuck all of you. Seriously, I had Twitter Blue for almost a year because I always make mistakes when I tweet. I like that I can edit. I like that I can add longer videos. I like that I have a couple other things. And now I don't have it anymore because when they said that they were getting rid of Twitter Blue, I canceled my subscription. Now I have nothing. So I tweet something, and I make a mistake, I got to delete it and do it all over again. So honestly, I'm getting it for different reasons. But if someone wants to say to me, ha ha, you got it because you subscribed, I don't give a fuck. Say whatever you want. I don't give a shit. I see these whiny babies, the elite, the coddled, you know, how dare you be in the same status as me? I am important. I deserve the blue check mark. You don't deserve. Fuck all of you. How old are you? It's fucking unbelievable. And then the best part, I saw some idiot talking about how some journalist, I think from the Washington Post, created a fake account mocking a politician and got the blue check mark. And they did that because they're trying to get Musk to stop all the regular folk of being on the same level as everybody else that have the verified check marks. What I've seen the last 7 days is nothing but egos getting pissed the fuck off. You don't know me. Marina, I got to steal it for tonight. You don't know me. Fuck you. I've been doing this shit since 1997. I got by far more downloads than anybody that's ever done this stuff. Yeah, I may not be as big as I used to, you know, for various reasons. And that's fine with me. I don't want to be the center of attention anymore. I'm older. I don't want drama. I don't want baggage. I don't want luggage. I don't want drama. I don't want bullshit. I just want to laugh and have fun. That's it. So, you know, the fact that, well, because I don't have 3 articles referencing me, that you can't get it. And then I see these schmucks that will write stupid articles that Austin Theory is being buried and this and that. And they'll write these things. And then they go to Twitter and say, look, I'm all over these Forbes. Look, I write for Forbes. Look, I'm all over the place. Verify me. And they get verified. The fuck out of here. I don't give a shit. I don't care about these people anymore. It's all in their fucking head, man. Seriously. You want to throw it in my face? You got a blue check mark because you're Twitter blue. That's fine. Good. I'm glad that it bothers you because I never gave a fuck. You know, I've been talking about blue check marks for years. Remember Saudi Arabia, if we want to keep it in wrestling. Remember Saudi Arabia? Remember they were stuck on the tarmac? Remember so many of them were upset because they were in the plane for 3 hours? You poor fucking little babies. The ones who thought that they were in a foreign country and they were afraid because of the history of Saudi Arabia, those people I'm not mocking. But the ones that were inconvenienced, like, I have to go pee. I can't use the airplane bathroom. You know, I got to get off this plane. I feel claustrophobic. I've been on this plane for 90 minutes. The people out there, you know, Starbucks, get your act straight. I asked for 2 sugars. You gave me 3. Hey, you know, so-and-so, you know, I want to just be by myself and you keep asking me questions. Hey, Outback Steakhouse, the steak, it was not up to par. Everybody runs on Twitter to complain because they need a fucking army to go out. Nobody wants to privately say, hey, you know, I got a little problem with my shit over here. Could you help me with it? No, they got to run to Twitter. I have no sympathy for blue check marks. To me, they're pompous in many, many, not all, but many of them are pompous. The egos are all being hurt. I honestly wish that I was a millionaire or a billionaire right now. I'd fucking buy Twitter blue for all of you out there and get as many people, not to put money in Elon Musk's pocket, but I see these fucking elite people getting so goddamn triggered. And then I see the people who are, you know, trying to kiss the ass of the blue check marks, you know, that are, you know, basically saying like, you know, I think this is ridiculous. And I think that there should be 2 different color check marks. You know why they want 2 different color check marks? Because they still want to be separated from the everyday folk. Whether it's wrestling, whether it's sports, politics, movies, music. They don't want to feel that everyday people are in the same class as them. Suck it. Suck it. Okay. This question I was fearing. Ronnie C. with 1 more question for me. If I could interview 1 female currently in wrestling right now, who would it be? Wow. I got to be honest with you. I saw that right before we went live. And I wrote even in the chat room, I said, man, that is a hard, hard question. You know, whether you sent a 5 spot or a 500 spot, that is still a hard freaking question. I don't know. I mean, look, I'm sure a lot of you would immediately say Sasha Banks. And that would be a very good one. Some people would say Saraya. That's not a bad one either. I honestly don't know what female right now in wrestling that I would interview. Believe it or not, you know who would be on my list? I'm not saying she would be my first choice. You know who would be on my list? Jade Cargill. Because I would love to have that discussion with her about the 5-star match comment. Because I think that is so misguided. Because the idea that, you know, you feel if given the time, every woman in AEW can have a 5-star match. That's based on a journalist's opinion. You know, if you get everybody in that building off their ass and losing their shit, whether you're a heel or a babyface, whether they're cheering for you or cursing at you, you know, that's what you want. You want that from your fans. When you see people out there fucking paying to see you, you don't need a 5-star match. You don't need a 3-star match. You're not required to have a 5-star match. You know, you pass a test in school. You get 70 or above, you pass. You're not required to have 99. That's, to me, what a 5-star match is. That 70 is not good enough anymore. You have to get 96 or above, then you matter. So she would actually be, she would be on my list. Austin loves my rants. I just tell like I feel it. Sometimes it gets me in trouble. You'd be surprised some of the nonsense feedback I get afterwards. I earned it. I deserve it. I know I say things that piss off a lot of people. You see it online. You know, we bring up things all the time, and you don't see anybody in journalist land showing any support for what we do. No, I mean, a couple. I'm not saying everyone, because I know there's some of you tuning in right now that are in that world, the same world. I love you guys, but the majority of the people out there, you know, it was funny, though. I really appreciated this. JD knows. I got a DM after our podcast last Thursday. And this person is somebody who is within AEW. And the person said to me two things. Number one, they saw a side of JD they had never seen before. And they were saying it as a compliment. Second thing that this person said, multiple things. The second thing that this person said was that I made so many valid points. Some things people disagree, but I made so many valid points that nobody really had any comeback for. I will tell you that this person also told me that one person behind the scenes did a little searching of me to see if I have a Twitter history of throwing people under the bus and stuff like that. I think if you just straight up and you say your opinions and you be respectful about it, I think you force people to respect you back. You know, I didn't say anything last Thursday, and JD did not say anything last Thursday that was fucked up at all. You know, when you get a whole entire, you know, group of people, cancel culture, trying to void this guy out and all ganging up because of a few women in AEW that all decided at the same time to go after him. Yeah, what do you expect him to do? You expect him to cry? You expect him to just crouch into a corner and beg forgiveness? No, I'd be fucking pissed the fuck off. But the thing is that, you know, what we said last week, look, I even admitted, I used to call Britt Baker Dr. Shit Baker because I thought she was garbage. I didn't think she was good. I used to call her Shit Baker. I used to also call her Britt Bella. To me, she reminded me of Nikki Bella or Brie Bella. She was Britt Bella. She was like another Bella. I didn't like her. But as the months went by and a year goes by and a year and a half goes by and you see how hard she was working, you know, I acknowledge that. And I've always praised it. And I've always praised Adam Cole for his involvement and everything that she has done. So, you know, there's been respect there. But I just feel that, you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there. You know, you could throw valid points and throw, you know, truth bombs and make a whole lot of sense, and people will just ignore it. You know, it's when you don't make sense is where everybody pays. Just think about that in this day and age. When you don't make sense is when everybody goes after you. But when you do make sense, everybody leaves you alone. They don't say nothing. Ah, all right. Bob the Builder. Where the hell is Miro? Oh, he's home right now with his wife. It's Sunday night. They probably just had dinner a little while ago. Nice weather, maybe outside, you know, having a little wine, you know, maybe a little late night swim. AEW just hasn't done anything. You know, again, this is Tony Khan, has to buy all the toys, plays with them for a little while, and then puts them on the shelf. There's no room for Miro right now. You think Miro wants to do the Ring of Honor stuff? You know, Miro don't fit the Ring of Honor banner. This is, you know, you see what it is. So it shouldn't surprise you. Look, Miro will be back. Wouldn't be surprised in a week or two after the pay-per-view, Miro will be back, you know. You'll see some names back. You'll see Mercedes Martinez pop up again. You'll see other names pop up. We could throw names out there right now, and you'd be like, holy shit, I forgot that person's on the contract. Where the fuck has that person been? Miro will be back. Also, Bob, with another two spot, Would I have booked Tyrus to win the world title? No. No. If they had to do a title change, there's many other ways they could have gone. I personally talked about this at the beginning of the show, but one thing I will just add to it is at the end of the day, this was all to generate a reaction. I don't think it was a fuck you to Nick Aldis. I think this was Billy Corgan sending a message. This is Billy Corgan's NWA. This is not Harley Race's NWA. This is not Lou Thesz's NWA. Hell, this is not even fucking, you know, whoever you want to choose. This is Billy Corgan's NWA, and Billy Corgan does what he wants. He works hard. He puts a lot of money in the product. He puts a lot of hours in the product. So he best damn be allowed to do whatever he wants. And yeah, that's his right. But man, that was a dumb decision yesterday. Just very, very ignorant, stupid. You know, have we seen champions in almost every promotion that win a championship that you just left scratching your head? Sure. NWA is not the only one. It is kind of funny, though, because I saw this yesterday. You know, guys, gals, what ethnicity is Tyrus? Chat room. I know the answer, but what ethnicity is Tyrus? I'm using that as a reason to take a slug of water. What ethnicity is Tyrus? If you're not sure, probably don't write it. Just Google it. Come on, guys, Andre, speed it up. What ethnicity is Tyrus? Somebody, anybody? Nobody care? Bash 8 says black and white. Okay. Michael says American. That's a good one. All right, he's black and white. Going into NWA Hard Times yesterday, I saw a lot of people showing all this love for Ron Killens all of a sudden about his history with the NWA Championship. And that's fine. That's fine. Suddenly, they care. Suddenly, they're making a big deal that Ron Killens is the only one in recent memory who is black to hold an NWA World Championship. There's been a couple others in history, but in the last 20-plus years, 25 years, maybe even longer than that, might have been 30, 40 years since we had a black NWA world champion before Ron Killens. But here's the thing. You know, if you're going to base it on skin color, you also can't turn around and say, but not that black person. And that's what I've seen over the last 24 hours. I think that's a little wrong, in my opinion. Now, look, me, I'm a white, fat Italian guy, so who the hell am I to say? But in my opinion, history is history. And again, look at the thumbnail that I made regarding his win. I do not agree with it. It looks like almost a mockery. It almost looks like, you know, that this was like satire. It almost looks like a parody. But I put the blame on Billy Corgan. I don't put it on Tyrus. If you were Tyrus and you were in that ring yesterday or you showed up for that event and your boss says to you, hey, what would you say if I put the belt on you? Tyrus could have said, boss, I don't think that's a good idea. I don't know. But you know, he's being paid to do a job. This is sports entertainment, everyone. It's sports fucking entertainment, everyone. Tyrus is playing a character, everyone. Tyrus may not fit the role of heavyweight champion, but at the end of the day, this is sports entertainment. And Billy Corgan found it very fucking entertaining to put the belt on Tyrus. I blame this on Billy Corgan. I don't blame it on Tyrus. But I don't agree with it. Would not have booked him. Okay. Rams fans, what's going on? Does AEW Full Gear seem to have a stronger card than All Out? This is a strong card. I think that there's a little bit lost because of CM Punk's situation. I think some of it is lost because, let me put it like this. You remember when the Elite was stripped of the titles? Then they put them on the Death Triangle, which surprised some people. Anybody remember how the IWC praised the fuck out of Tony Khan for going with the Death Triangle? If anybody deserved tag team trios championships, the Death Triangle right up on that list. Yeah, there's others, House of Black, you know, a few. But the point is this. When CM Punk and the Elite were first stripped, 95% of everyone praised Tony Khan for not only putting the belts on who he put it on, but also it felt like, you know, we're getting a little bit of a different atmosphere. It doesn't feel like the Elite's influence on TV. And it was a little refreshing. Now people can't wait to get those fucking belts off of the Death Triangle and put it back on the Elite. You know, that storyline with Pac eventually splitting with the Death Triangle, that's been going on for 6-7 weeks. And the reason why that's been going on for so long is because the Elite were not able to return until the legal issues with CM Punk were done. So now that shit is done with CM Punk and everybody flocks back to the Elite. So, you know, a lot of people think that the Elite will end up either winning those championships at Full Gear or at minimum, if the Death Triangle do not have a match, you know, they'll confront the Death Triangle at Full Gear. I think the card is strong enough. I mean, look, AEW's pay-per-view prices are too expensive, in my opinion. But that's what happens when you hire as many people as they do. That's why shirts are almost $50 with shipping. You know, you're overpaying because a boss overpays. We're overpaying because he fucking overpays. So, but still, you're getting a lot. You know what I compare AEW to right now? I've kind of like said this before, but I've never said it like this, and I think you'll agree. I'm going to Mohegan Sun for Thanksgiving. I just went to Disney on my honeymoon. And what a lot of restaurants will do, and I'm sure all of you, whether you went to Vegas, California, wherever you've been, even overseas, I'm sure at some point you've come across this. You ever gone to a restaurant where you walk in, and it's either a prefix menu, you pay one price and you get like appetizers, you know, salad, main course, dessert, whatever. Like you pay one price or you have a buffet. But you walk into the place and the price is astronomical. The fuck? $70? You know, I get that. But what happens? You have to pay a crazy amount of money, but they stuff you to the point where you have Kamala stomach after you're done. So you overpay for it, but they give you a ton of food in return. When I go to Mohegan Sun and we go to a place called Hash House and you walk in there and the shit's fucking expensive, some of those meals. But when you walk in, the plate is like this big. So that's what AEW does. They overcharge you, but then they return, give you 14 matches. So you walk in and you have a buffet. Why am I paying $70, $60, $55 for this? And then you realize you're getting a ton of food in return. But I don't want a ton of food. Just give me enough to satisfy me. I don't want to pay as much. We overpay because Tony Khan overpays. The card is solid. But it does feel a little bit different. The Ring of Honor stuff, again, I'm not feeling it. You know, now we got Claudio and Sammy and Jericho and Bryan Danielson fighting for the Ring of Honor title. And then we're going to have, you know, we know what it is. So I think it's the overall aura of AEW. People are starting to figure it out. I use Ricky Starks as an example. Maybe Ricky Starks ends up winning this whole tournament. But remember when Ricky Starks first lost the FTW championship, and that's not even a legit title. Remember when he cut that passionate promo? And that night, we all felt like, fuck, they're finally going to give Ricky Starks an opportunity. They're going to finally elevate this guy to main event. And then Hobbs jumps him. And look at it 2+ months later, maybe more than that, what the fuck has he done? So I think people are starting to figure it out. You know, you get powerful promos. You get passionate this. We get amazing vignettes about the House of Black returning. We get all this passionate shit. And then 3 months later, and you're like, wow, we're like right back to square one. And that's happening over and over and over again. And I think that's why this aura about AEW is starting to feel different. You know, I'm not saying AEW's going downhill or they're meaning their demise. No. But people are starting to figure it out. You know, you could tease and you could cut these wild, passionate promos, and then 2-3 months later you realize, wow, that kind of went nowhere. So it's happening with too many people. You know, Hobbs, if there wasn't a pay-per-view coming up, you think Hobbs would have been out there the last 2 weeks with these two guys? No, they just want to have a three-way with behemoths. So let's see if Hobbs comes out of there with any championship. Bet you he doesn't. All right. Bob the Builder with a 5-spot. Thank you, Bob. Nobody benefited more from CM Punk leaving than Jericho. He's becoming the ultimate politician. No offense, he is 52 and should not be the focal point. Well, he's not the focal point. He's the focal point of Ring of Honor. And, you know, I don't know what the elite's relationship is with Jericho. I don't know. But I've kind of said this before, but I almost feel like, all right, Jericho is definitely positioned himself, and it's in my synopsis from a couple of weeks ago. Jericho ultimately is going to be the number two person in his company. Not that woman, Mega. Jericho will be the number two person in his company. And I almost feel like they put the Ring of Honor championship on Jericho, not because of a TV deal. There's so many people they have in that company. You know, Jericho's not going to be the be-all, end-all, like, oh, they got the $144 million because Jericho is there. You know, Jericho ain't going to be, you know, oh, you got Jericho? Yeah, let's do a Ring of Honor. It's stupid. You got to look at the overall product. But it almost feels like, okay, the elite, they built AEW. They're the heart and soul of AEW. They're the lifeline, the lifeblood of AEW. You look at the vignettes the last couple of weeks. You know, the history of AEW is because of them. Jericho was there since day one, but Jericho was the outsider. He was not one of those digging in the dirt. He wasn't one digging in the dirt. So it almost feels like, okay, Jericho wants to lobby himself with power. He wants to make a focal point about him and put gold on him. Okay, then we have this second promotion called Ring of Honor. Let's put the championship on him. So Jericho could play world champion, but it's for Ring of Honor. It's not for AEW, you know, the promotion that the foundation built them on. Now, when AEW first started, it was very smart to put the belt on Jericho because Jericho is a household name. Jericho is still, you know, able to perform. Jericho right now is in the best shape in many, many years. Jericho has not embarrassed himself. So as long as Jericho can go, I'm fine with it. But, you know, Jericho's doing what anybody would do. Jericho's doing what anybody would do. And I commend him. I absolutely commend him. Muhammad with a question. Now with Logan Paul and Pat McAfee and Bad Bunny, will WWE be bringing random celebrities, or they have to be skilled since the bar got higher with Logan and Pat? Anybody that comes in is going to have to work and is going to have to show that they really want it. WWE, I think the days of a Jay Leno or the days of even a Shaq. Shaq did not embarrass himself when he had the match in AEW. But you could tell that Shaq was trained to do 3 or 4 moves, and that pretty much was it. Logan Paul is trying to make somewhat of a career out of this. Bad Bunny was there for one match. Pat McAfee is a lifelong wrestling fan. Pat McAfee, this was something he always wanted to do, took it very, very seriously. So the days of bringing in actors or athletes from other sports just for a buzz, they're going to have to do a lot more than what has happened in the past. And it's not easy because for WWE, listen, any actor or athlete that gets a giant payday for doing a WWE match, you think they care if we compare that person's work to Matt McAfee? Think that person gives a shit? I don't give a fuck. I don't care if the whole wrestling world thinks I suck. Just give me my money. For wrestling fans and for WWE, there's a bar that has been set. And, you know, you will see that bar always be challenged. And for those who are lifelong wrestling fans, that is a, you know, pretty serious challenge to have to meet. So the bar is being lifted, and that should be a good thing. I mean, you look at the match that Sami Zayn had with Johnny Knoxville. Look at Johnny Knoxville. It was all comedy. It was all, you know, jackass stuff. But you can tell that guy took this shit seriously. He did not train for 2 weeks to do this. That guy put it out there. And if they're going to do something with someone else, they're going to have to not just do 2-3 moves, tag in and, you know, that tag out and that's it. So, all right, we're going to start bringing this home because we're already at 66 minutes. So, again, if you have any questions, write question before your question. If you have a comment you want me to relay, write that. You have a super chat. Obviously, you get a little VIP priority. I will get into the remainder super chats in a few moments. Kevin Milwaukee, quick show question. What is the best big city in the world, in my opinion, that deserves a big pro wrestling show that maybe has not had one? My social studies is horrible. I could not tell you offhand any city out there that has not had like a major, maybe WrestleMania, you know, a big pro wrestling show. I mean, that could be a Dynamite, that could be a Raw, that could be a premium live event, that could be a WrestleMania. I personally feel that even though the time zones would be different, I think a country overseas deserves to have a WrestleMania. I wouldn't mind a WrestleMania being in Canada right now, but I think, look, do I think Saudi Arabia deserves a WrestleMania? No. Saudi Arabia has had a lot of events the last bunch of years. Obviously, there's a giant, you know, deal involved, but I think they have gotten more than they could have bargained for. But I also think that any country overseas, you want to use England, you want to use Australia, you want to use, you know, any of them, I would like to see WrestleMania go overseas, you know, one time. But as far as like individual cities, I mean, I couldn't tell you. Like, I don't know if San Jose has had a WrestleMania. You know what I mean? Like, it's very hard to like narrow it down. If you want to give me a list of states or countries and say, DT, of this list, who would you say should be the first deserving of getting, you know, like a WrestleMania or a premium live event? Then I could give that to you. But honestly, you know, my social studies, you know, history as far as where wrestling events happened, and it'd be very, very difficult for me to answer that. So CJ Rock says, England, Japan, South America. You know, Japan would be really interesting, but I think the language barrier would be very, very difficult to pull off like a whole WrestleMania, you know, week of events. The language barrier in itself, you do meet and greets and, you know, I mean, not everybody in Japan speaks English. So I wouldn't say WrestleMania for Japan. England, I would say. England probably would be first on my list. It's the Costanza. Do I think the reason why Jim Cornette hates Trump is because he stuck his nose in the wrestling business and also became president? No, Jim Cornette is a hardcore Democrat. He does not like today's generation of Republicans. I'll tell you the truth. Maybe one of you out there, you know, I used to dislike Cornette big time. I am now a big fan of his work. I love Brian Last stuff now. They grew on me over the last 2-3 years, but I still would not send in a question. I feel kind of awkward. If you want to send one in for me, you can. Or maybe you know this answer. You could say, hey, you know, recently Don Tony was talking about politics and brought up Jim Cornette's name. And, you know, he was curious. And I'm curious also. What did Jim Cornette think about Ronald Reagan and Reaganomics? I'm curious what he thought about the Republicans under Reagan. I think there's a lot of people out there who are hardcore Democrats that I think actually tolerated Ronald Reagan. I think Ronald Reagan's first couple of years, he was looked at as a joke, a goof, a Hollywood actor. He was the governor of California, but he still was not taken very seriously. I lived through it. I remember the first couple of years of Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan's my favorite president of all time. I wonder what Jim Cornette thought of Ronald Reagan and Republicans back in maybe the 80s. No, he's just a hardcore Democrat, and he does not like the antics of the Republican Party for a very long time. It is much, much deeper than Trump, far deeper than Trump. Mike is asking my most memorable Thanksgiving memory. I don't have any. Well, you know what? I take that back. Getting engaged a couple of years ago. It has become an annual tradition that me and my now wife, we go to Mohegan Sun Thanksgiving weekends. And it was Thanksgiving weekend 2019 that we got engaged. And I'm sure some of you saw the pictures at that time. I set up the room. I brought an extra suitcase. And the only stuff in that suitcase was like flower petals and lights and everything. And it took me about 2 hours to set up that room. I had somebody from the hotel help me as well. It was just, we've never watched a video of me proposing. I have a whole camcorder. I have my cam playing in the background. I never watched the footage after when I went on one knee. But yeah, when I got engaged, Thanksgiving 2019, it just sucks that COVID hit because I probably would have gotten married in 2020. Maybe early 2021, but COVID obviously delayed everything. Tristan. What's up, Tristan? What do I think of the rumored Cena versus Stone Cold WrestleMania match? That is not news. That is fans wanting that match to go down. I found it so cute. I don't want to say what show it was, but Saturday I did the Don Tony show, and I put up the graphic of John Cena versus Logan Paul. And this particular news site was in the live chat with us Saturday morning. And I appreciate that he was there. I don't want him to get mad, but I still thought it was cute. So I put up the argument for Logan Paul versus John Cena. Okay. Obviously there's other choices as well for Cena. No question. But I put up the argument for Logan Paul. And I won some people over with my argument. About 2 hours later, they go on their website to write news saying that the reports coming in is that WWE is leaning towards John Cena versus Logan Paul. And I was like, man, come on. Seriously, you're going to go there? But there's no news of Cena's opponent, everyone. I did not report it as news. I even specifically told all of you out there, you know, if you want to do anything, throw it a sausage. You think there's anybody in WWE Creative that's talking to anybody online right now about Cena? Tell me who. Tell me, you think Pritchard? You think that there's some person with one of those special hearing aids that they could hear 500 miles away? That they have their ear on the door. Hey, what do you think about Austin versus Cena? No, they saw a video of Austin training online. Cena is going to have a rumored match at Mania. They see Austin training on Austin versus Cena. It's perfect. So now people try to report it as news. Then if it happens, see, we were right. Buy our Patreon. Buy our newsletter. Subscribe to our podcast. Send me money. It's not news. There is no news of Cena versus Austin. It could happen. Absolutely could happen. There ain't nobody out there that has any fucking contacts with Cena or anybody in WWE creative or management right now that is going to them and say, hey, don't say anything, but they're thinking about doing Austin versus Cena. Shh. That's what's going on. Period. So what are my thoughts of these rumors going around that it's going to be those two? Those are people fantasizing about that match. And instead of just saying, hey, I'd love for it to be Cena versus Austin. No, they got to report it as like news. Nope, I don't fall for it. Garden of Chaos. DT, because I don't give a fuck, I just asked Corny about Reaganomics. Let's see if he responds. Or as you called it, the libtard. Oh, you don't like Cornette? Look, I disagree with his politics. Look, I'm not a hardcore Republican. I consider myself an independent. And again, I have voted, you know, for some Democrats over the last couple of years. Not many, but I voted for a few. You know, if I feel someone is genuine, you know, that's really trying to help the country and not just trying to, you know, go for a party, I voted. Even locally, there's a few people. There's a congresswoman in this neighborhood that, you know, I don't want to say her name, but she is pretty liked over here, and she's a Democrat. Look at my dad. My dad hung out with Eric Adams, our mayor, but he also hung out with Lee Zeldin, who just ran for governor. You know, one's a Democrat, one's a Republican. My father will, you know, vote on who he thinks could help New York. It's not about just Republican or Democrat. One fool is asking, what is my favorite Mexican food? Yeah. I can't do Beavis unless I hear it first. Nachos. I love my nachos. No, I don't like the beef anymore. I don't like jalapenos. I don't like beans. Sometimes, thank God we have like a little smaller screen, because if I took the shirt off right now, somehow there would be moons and stars. When I order nachos, I say, give me loaded nachos. No beef, no beans, no jalapenos. So what do you want on it? Just give me cheese and sour cream and a little guacamole. If you want to be a little more specific, fajitas. I love fajitas. I could even enjoy lettuce fajitas. In fact, there's a Mexican place in Mohegan Sun called Saltoro. We have a reservation for dinner that weekend over there. And they have fajitas there that are outstanding. And for the last couple of years when I was on keto, I would get lettuce instead of flour tortillas. And you make the fajitas with lettuce. You wrap it in lettuce. So now since I'm off keto, I will have some regular tortillas. I just won't overdo it. Devin M., celebrating 22 months as a channel member. Shout out to Austin Nance, too. I know you celebrated an anniversary earlier. And I missed how many months. I think someone else also earlier when an anniversary. So if you're still around, let me know who it was, because I missed it earlier. Oh, yeah, I'll always keep the shirt on. Absolutely. All right, we got a super chat here from Bob the Builder. Thank you for the 5 spot. In my honest opinion, do I think the AEW product was at its best when CM Punk was in their top programs, when MJF, Moxley, and Eddie Kingston? I tell you the truth, man. When it's kind of what I said earlier, when Punk got stripped and the Elite got stripped, I invite any of you, like the following week, not the night that Tony Khan came out on Dynamite, but the following week or 2 weeks after, I said, you know, it feels different. It feels like maybe Tony Khan has now got his hands on this a little bit more than before. And when you see the Acclaimed getting the championships and you see, you know, some names getting utilized, you know, that we've seen hasn't been used that much lately, it felt like, okay, maybe they're finally going in a different direction. The problem is now we are 6 weeks removed from there, 2 months removed, and now we're back to square one. Some people 2 months ago that we thought was finally going to get an opportunity hasn't. And the Acclaimed, with all due respect, I mean, they're fabulous. They're doing a great job. But they're feuding with fucking Sterling, Mark Sterling. They're fucking feuding with Tony Nese. You know, they kind of tease that FTR wants those championships, and then nothing happens for 6 weeks. And, you know, it just, it feels like we're going backwards. I'm telling you, 1 month from now, I guarantee you a majority of you out there say, wow, this feels like AEW 2020. It feels like they're going back to 2020 before CM Punk came in. And remember the ratings at that time. The numbers were not very good. When you have that kind of a roster, the numbers should be better. I don't want to say that they were bad, but they should be better. I think people should really re-examine what those ratings were in 2020. Now with CM Punk on, Adam Cole, you know, on the shelf, Thunder Rosa on the shelf, you know, quite a few others as well. Some people having some issues. House of Black, love that they're coming back. Let's see what fucking happens 6 weeks from now. Something tells me that 6 weeks from now, people are going to be like, oh, give it more time. Give it more time. They just came back. No, man. You know, we're getting right back to the same shit as before. It's going to feel like 2020. I hope I'm wrong. I just don't think I'm wrong. You know, there's a mindset. That's what people need to understand. Tony Khan and the Elite and the people who work behind the scenes, from the QT Marshalls to the Brandon Cutlers to everybody who works in the office, they're not going to suddenly all wake up one day and say, you know, we should have fucking put the belt on Hobbs. You know, we got to put Starks in the main event. You know, we shouldn't be pushing blah, blah, blah as much as we are. You know, there's not going to be no epiphany. There's not going to be, we're finally listening. Nah, they don't think they're doing anything wrong. They're not losing money. They're not investors. They're putting time and effort in the company, but they're getting paid. They're double dipping. They're getting paid as talent and they're getting paid as employees. They're not losing money. The only person that's losing money is Tony Khan. And if he is a multi-billionaire and he's having a time of his life and he's enjoying what he's doing and he feels like he's got power and he feels the networks are happy, then why would you change anything? So that's what people, I think, forget or fail to realize. Why would AEW change anything? Give me one valid reason. There's no pressure that the networks are not happy. There's no one else in that company losing money. So why would anything change? If Tony Khan is happy and content, why would anything change? Charlie Conway, why wouldn't Jericho focus on himself? Why would he entertain the option of number two to Khan? Because Chris Jericho is 52 years old. Chris Jericho's not going to be able to wrestle that many more years. Chris Jericho loves wrestling, wants to remain in wrestling, wants the power, you know, feels that he actually could do a good job of what he does. Jericho, why wouldn't he do that? Jericho is doing what he should be doing. It's just a lot of people don't like it because a lot of focus is on Jericho. Blame that on Tony Khan. Don't blame that on Chris Jericho. Chris Jericho is getting paid a lot of money. Chris Jericho got himself in crazy-ass good shape. Jericho still delivers in the ring. If you don't like Jericho out there, you know, you don't like Jericho out there. But one thing I think we could all agree on, whether you like Jericho or you don't like Jericho, Jericho has earned his money. Does anybody out there truly feel like Jericho is just sitting on his ass, not wrestling all that much, doing 1 minute matches, gaga, you know, letting his body go? Does it feel like Jericho hasn't earned his money? Jericho has earned his pay. If you have a problem with it, then you have a problem with Tony Khan putting Jericho in that position. Jericho is extremely smart. I admire what Jericho is doing. Jericho is not trying to hurt the company. Jericho feels that he is a very valuable asset in that company, and AEW feels the same. All right. We are at 85 minutes, so I'm going to get out of here in about 5 minutes. So tomorrow, let me give you a little schedule update, because there are a couple of things that I have decided to handle a little differently the next 2 weeks. Tomorrow, Monday, the 14th of November, I will be doing a regular episode of the Don Tony Show. This Wednesday, for Wednesday Night Dynamite, that same night, I am doing predictions for Full Gear. So we will do predictions Wednesday night. Saturday morning, I am doing a regular episode of the Don Tony Show. Yes, I know Full Gear is Saturday night. Also, I realize that quite a few of you out there don't buy AEW pay-per-views, don't watch AEW on a regular basis. You know, the ratings for AEW is not on the same level as Raw or SmackDown, even if it's half. So I know it's a smaller audience. So not every single one of you only wants to hear AEW talk on the weekend. So Saturday morning, I will be doing the Don Tony Show. As of right now, I am going to come up Saturday night after the event is over. I may change my mind. I may hold off until Sunday. And the only reason why I say that is because AEW likes to do these 5-6 hour shits. And I am fucking tired afterwards. And I don't know, like, why do I have to, 5 minutes after Full Gear ends, that I have to come up here live and speak my mind 5 minutes later? Maybe we hold off until Sunday to talk about it. So that I'm not sure of. As of right now, I am doing one Saturday night, but it's not 100%. Next Sunday, we'll be doing a sit-down. And then Thanksgiving week, here's some changes. Thanksgiving week, Monday will be regular show. I'm going to pre-record on Tuesday predictions for Survivor Series. I will post that show either Wednesday, probably the day before Thanksgiving. Wednesday afternoon, I will post online predictions for Survivor Series. So the only day that there will not be a show, technically, will be Saturday. And that is the 26th of November. That is the same night of Survivor Series, which means our Survivor Series talk will be on Sunday night. And, you know, we may do a split Don Tony Show, sit down, Survivor Series. Maybe we'll do all three. We'll see. But that is what the schedule is for the next 2 weeks. So make notes. All right. Last chance for questions, because I am going to jet out of here in like 2-3 minutes. So make it good, make it count, and make it quick, because I got to get back to some married life. No, it's that time of the month for a certain individual, so no, that will not be happening. I don't know about doing a November Q&A yet, because there's only 2 weeks left in a month, and, you know, I'm going to be going away Thanksgiving, so we'll probably do one in early December. Parents are good. They're in Florida right now. I am bird sitting. They are in Florida assessing the damage from the storm, not just from this past week, from a month and a half ago. So, Ian. So I heard there was not that much damage where they had, but they still had a couple of things they needed to tend to. So they're going to be in Florida until Tuesday. That's why I was pretty much absent Wednesday, most of Friday, and parts of this weekend. So I'm actually very surprised that he is kind of quiet inside. I was going to bring him in here during the show, but either he's going to shit on me live on the air, or he's going to freak out, and then I got to bring him back in the other room, so... Nicole, yes. Am I excited for the Game Awards on December 8th, Byron? A little bit. You know, I'm just not into the games like I used to. But yeah, I mean, I'm always I'm always, following it, but it doesn't feel the same like it used to be. So, just the overall vibe, the overall climate is just different. So, Fly, which woman in NXT has the most potential, in my opinion? Who's the young lady that I always say looks like Stephanie? She wrestled Dark Match last week. What the hell's her name? I'm always drawing a blank. What's her name? Someone in the chat room bail me out. The one that looks like Stephanie. How creepy is that? I brought it up Wednesday. When she smiles and those wrinkles on her nose are exactly the same like Stephanie's. It's crazy. Kiana James. Believe it or not, Kiana James, I think, is on the fast track to the main roster. Do I think she is the one, though? No, I think Cora Jade might be the one on the fast track. I like Alba Fire, but if you follow her work closely, she still needs a little more seasoning. Cora Jade, I think, could fit that bill. Roxanne Perez definitely is on her way as well. I think you give her another year or two before bringing her up. But, the one thing that you could say about NXT, they have quite a few women. Sol Ruka, I am really interested in seeing what she does 3-4 years from now. Sol Ruka, Nikita Lyons, Tiffany Stratton. Those are the usuals that everybody talks about. Tiffany Stratton has really improved. She has really improved, but she's still got to improve more. She can't just sit on her ass and say, hey, I've done enough. Now I could tread water a little bit. No. Trust me, there's a couple of names that have been floated around that if they don't get their shit together soon, they're going to be let go. And one of them I mentioned in a watch party last week. I won't say it here because I don't like putting that out there. It's very wrong for someone to read online that people are speculating that they could be released. But some of the names on that list would surprise some people out there. Everybody in that company is on notice in NXT. If you start showing that, you think that you're at the point that you could just coast, look at Bodie Hayward. I think they're going to bring him back. I know no one has said that, and it's not news. I get this weird feeling Bodie Hayward will be brought back sooner than we think. I'm telling you, I think Bodie Hayward, that was such a shock to him that I honestly think that I would not be surprised if we find out that he contacted WWE and asked for a second chance. I'm telling you, I got this weird feeling that Bodie Hayward will be back. All right. Last Legend, she's doing well. She's got a long way to go, though. But she's definitely improved. She is definitely improved. Last Legend, and I'm not going to acknowledge yes or no if anybody is on the list or not. But I will tell you, Last Legend was not one that was brought up to me. I like Zoe Stark. Zoe Stark is good. Zoe Stark, I could see be brought to the main roster and be like an enforcer to someone. She definitely could kick ass. I think Zoe Stark, as far as ability, might be the top one right now that you could bring to the main roster. I think she would fit in like a glove. Some others, I think when you start looking at the wrestlers on Raw or SmackDown, that's a very, very high bar to be able to go against. Look at Roxanne Perez when they put her on that match on SmackDown. She did great. I no one is going to deny she did great. But if you look closely, you could see that she's not there yet. And you could see where there was a couple of moments where it was kind of off. But, she's in developmental. So you're going to expect that. I know a lot of people have the sentimental for Indy Hartwell. Indy Hartwell, I'd like to see her go to the main roster. I think that there's value there, that Dexter Lumis and Indy Hartwell could have done some stuff on the main roster. The problem is that how long could you do that for? People are getting a little sick and tired with this Johnny Gargano, Miz, Dexter Lumis storyline, and wait till you hear what they do tomorrow on Raw. I'm not going to, you know, reveal anything, but someone spelled it out to me, and I was like, oh, God, please, you got to end this. You got to finish this storyline. It's getting a little bit to the point where, and I think Triple H realizes, like, okay, you know, we milked enough weeks. We got to, like, bring this to a close. So you do Indy Hartwell, like, the only way you split them up on the main roster is if they divorce. So that's why I don't think you could really go there and have Indy and Dexter Lumis reunite. But, you know. All right, last one for tonight. Kevin with a comment. Kevin Milwaukee would love to see Triple H open this year's Royal Rumble with same old school opening and music. Royal Rumbles from the late 80s to the early 90s. I loved the old school music. They're not going to bring it back like that. They're going to do it for the Raw 30th anniversary. You know, they're bringing back the old set. You know, it's not going to be exactly like what it used to be, but there's going to be remnants of it. There's going to be enough in there. The graphics, you know, the style, the vibe, they're going to keep it for there. But, you know, this is not our father's Survivor Series. This is not our father's Royal Rumble. This is 2023 Royal Rumble. This is 2022 Survivor Series. There's no reason to bring back retro for stuff like that. I'm not against it. I'm not against it. I love the old school stuff. And yes, the reason why you want it back, and I'm not speaking for you, but I think I'm probably right when I say this. I think the reason why you want it back, I think the reason why a lot of you would love to see it back, and it's probably the same reason why I would have no problem seeing it back, is because when you think of those intros, the openings, it sparks memories. It sparks really, really fun highlights as a younger wrestling fan and things that we witnessed in earlier days. And we miss it. So anytime we get the opportunity that we can kind of relive something from our past, especially something that is good and bright, you know, we wouldn't mind it being brought up a little bit. And that's why people do it. It's much deeper than just nostalgia. Because, you know, you could listen to a song and you think of stuff from yesteryear. You could watch something on TV and think from something for you. But as far as this, you know, it brings you back at a time where wrestling was different. The vibes were different. The storylines, the angles, the TV, the product, you know, the competition, the content, you know, it's different. And it does spark memories, you know. And that's why we like those things when we get them back. But, you know, but you look in the overall sense for the Royal Rumble and Survivor Series, there's no reason to go back to that time because this is to the leading to the road to WrestleMania. We got to go forward. So that 30-year anniversary Raw will be the night where we can relive, go a little retro. All right, everyone. I am out of here. I hope you enjoyed tonight's sit-down. I absolutely love your choice of questions for tonight. Sparked some awesome discussion. I think we addressed quite a bit of what is on the pulse right now amongst wrestling fans in general. You know, from AEW to NWA to WWE to WrestleMania, Survivor Series, Royal Rumble, and everything in between. The John Cena stuff is going to start heating up, you know, even bigger as time goes on. And who knows, maybe John Cena enters the Royal Rumble. I expect one or two surprise names announced for the Royal Rumble that we would not expect to be in the Royal Rumble. I don't know who. I don't know who. Nobody's told me anything, but I just got that vibe. And you know me with my vibes. You know, it's pretty strange at times how those vibes seem to happen. So, all right, everyone. Much love. Yeah, Austin in the Rumble. I'm buying in for that. I have no problem with that. We will see. Everyone, if you enjoyed tonight's show, take a moment. Smash that thumbs up. It helps. You'd be surprised how much it does. If you have any questions, comments, feedback, share it. You know, I have to play a little catch-up over the last few days. Some of your comments, if you, people saw early, I was responding to some earlier today. I'll do some tonight as well. And, you know, if you know anyone out there that might like the channel, you know, spread the word. Let them know about it. And hope you all enjoy the rest of your Sunday. For some of you, happy Monday. kind of a interesting music group from the 90s or the 80s. Anybody remember the Happy Mondays? Some people in the UK right now are like, Don Tony, you know the Happy Mondays? Oh, sure. Oh, sure.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the hosts. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody. You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us. But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. It doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.